found in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 1 through 14. After this reading, please keep your Bibles open to Colossians 1, because our sermon text is found here as well in verses 9 through 14. We will be reading now Colossians 1, verse 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Our Father, we ask, O God, that you would meet with us because we acknowledge that we are needy. We acknowledge that we are often missing the mark. We acknowledge that we willingly transgress at times, and your blood covers it all. Praise God that you love us in Christ Jesus for the redemption that he has wrought for us. Now love us today and make your presence felt among us, known among us, for your promise to be here is sure. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you need prayer? Do you need the prayer of your pastor in session to specifically lift you up to God in prayer? Do you need the prayer of your brothers and sisters here at Covenant Family Church? Well, let me ask you this question. Do you need the prayer of an apostle? In verses 9 through 14, the apostle Paul prays for his fellow Christians at Colossae, but his prayer is prayed for you as well. It's a prayer prayed in a different time period than ours, and of course, in a different place, but some things just never change. There were men and women at the Colossian church graciously embraced by our covenant God, moms and dads, husbands, wives, covenant children, boys and girls, and like all of us, they worked, even down to the smallest child, in a world where labor is cursed by God because of sin. They engaged with broken, sinful, complicated people. and they themselves were sinners. And so they suffered the effects of sin in their own personal lives. But there is something very positive to say about these folks, and it is reflected in how the apostle prayed for them. He tells them that when he prays for them, he always thanks God, always thanks God. It was a wonderful Sunday school class with a focus on thankfulness to God today. The Apostle Paul said, I always thank God because of your faith in Christ. Verse 4. He thanks God because of their love for all the saints. Verse 4. And a love, he says, verse 5, that springs out of the hope that is laid up for them in heaven. He gives thanks for them for their the gospel fruit manifested in their lives. Verse 6. And in verses 6 and 7, he always gives thanks to God for their pastor, Pastor Epaphras, and his God-blessed ministry among them. These are marvelous things to be said about sinners. Recently, Pastor Peter and Elder Bruce were in our neck of the woods for the installation of our new pastor. And Bruce led the service on behalf of the presbytery. And Pastor Peter gave the charge to our congregation. It was a very powerful and practical, engaging charge that he gave. I strongly encourage you to get on our website and listen to this charge. You can find it at sovereigngracereformchurch.com. sovereigngracereformchurch.com. Praise God for your pastor and how God uses him in your lives for the sake of Christ. God graciously worked through the ministry of Pastor Epaphras among the first century saints in Colossae, and their lives bore fruit as a result of it. They were alive in Christ. In the movie Kidnapped, adapted from the book by Robert Louis Stevenson, Davy was looking for Alan Breck Stewart, who was on the run from the British Army. Davy inquired with an old man about Alan, and the old man told Davy that Alan was just that he was just a day behind Alan. You mean he's alive? Davy said. The old man replied, he had that appearance about him. They were alive in Christ, and it showed. So Paul thanked God for what he had so graciously done for them. And then in verses 9 through 14, our passage this morning, Paul began to make requests for God's continued work in their lives. We're informed that this was his unceasing prayer for them. They needed this prayer. Each one of them needed unceasing prayer for continued growth in Jesus Christ. And in just a moment, we're going to consider the content of that prayer. But first, allow me to tell you a little bit about the Colossian church. Located in a small city in Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey, it was a thriving textile city at one time. But long before Paul wrote this epistle, Rome had changed the highway system and Colossae diminished both in size and importance. The church, therefore, was small also. In fact, the church met in the home of Philemon. One commenter said, in the eyes of the world, Colossae was the most inconsequential city and church to which the Apostle Paul ever wrote. Well, it wasn't inconsequential to Pastor Epaphras. He had traveled over 1,000 miles to where Paul was imprisoned so that he could get the apostles' help, counsel, aid, prayer, and eventually this letter in regard to the false teachers in Colossae. A 1,000-mile journey back then was pretty dangerous and long. Elder Thornton at our church says, people do not care what you think until they think that you care. Our Presbytery moderator, Alan Strange, recently encouraged us. He said, the dear saints there in Doniphan remain close to my heart. Imagine how close they are to Jesus' heart if an old sinner like me cares. Pastor Epaphras cared, and he communicated to Paul what the false teachers were teaching. They were teaching that faith in Christ was good, but that Jesus was not enough for the deeper spiritual life. They were saying you need the Jesus Plus program for maturing in Jesus Christ. You need the Jesus Plus program for fulfillment. For example, Jesus Plus following Jewish rituals. That'll get you there. That's the equation. Or Jesus Plus the worship of angels. That'll do it for you. Or Jesus Plus a life of asceticism for the deeper spiritual life. And the Apostle Paul wrote this epistle to them to seal in their minds and hearts the truth that Jesus Christ is sufficient for all Christian growth and sanctification. And that's why Paul described Jesus immediately following his prayer. Jesus is the invisible God made visible, verse 15. He created everything, visible and invisible, verse 16. He sustains and governs that which he has created. Verse 17, he's the head of the body, the church. Verse 18, he's the firstborn from the dead and lives forevermore so that in everything he might be preeminent. It was because of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ that they bore the fruit of love for one another and had a hope laid up for themselves in heaven. Yes, they had grown, thus Paul's thanksgiving to God, but the apostle prayed unceasingly for their continued growth. One of the takeaways from this passage today, I believe, is that we should be praying for our brothers and sisters who have done really well in the Lord and are growing. Our church prayer list is one thing, but we all need prayer, don't we? And God is glorified to use these prayers as a means of grace in our lives. In verses 9 through 14, there are three parts to Paul's prayer. And the first part is what I'm calling his reasonable request. His reasonable request is based on his utter sufficiency. Reading verses 9 and 10. And so from the day we heard, that is, heard about your faith in Christ and your love for all the saints, etc., we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is a reasonable request, because the apostle is pointing them to Jesus and his fullness and all that is theirs in him. He prays that they be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Jesus is all wisdom and knowledge and understanding. At the beginning of chapter 2, the apostle expresses a longing for God's children of faith to reach all of the riches of full assurance and understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They're hidden to the unbelieving world, but they are not hidden to you, to those who have been called graciously to faith in Christ and have all the benefits that flow from Christ's gospel work. That's why Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1, teaches you are in Christ. You are in Christ Jesus, who became to you wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Jesus Christ is the whole package. He is the sufficient one who saves sinners by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and then grows them up by teaching them throughout their lives, never to perfection, but throughout their lives, all that he is for them in his fullness, and all that is theirs in him, so they might walk more and more in a manner worthy of the Lord. This is a reasonable prayer request because of the sufficiency of Christ. No matter how you and I may be feeling, Jesus is the well that never runs dry. And the Holy Spirit is always pointing us to him and his absolute righteousness under God's law for our poor sakes. And to the cross where Jesus made full atonement for all our sins. And to the risen and reigning Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of knowledge and of wisdom and of understanding, so that we might increasingly know his will and walk in a manner worthy of him. Not ever to earn God's favor and grace. We could never do that, ever. But to live fruitful lives out of thankfulness to God. So my question to you is, do you sense that the apostle makes this reasonable request to God in prayer on your behalf? All treasures outside of Christ in this world are fool's gold. The apostle, the apostolic request for you is reasonable, though, because Jesus is pure gold in his sufficiency. Well, the next part of Paul's prayer is his deep desire. We have a deep desire for our children, don't we? God has a deep desire for his children, and it is expressed in verses 11 and 12. That they may be strengthened with all power according to his, that is Christ's, glorious might. Strengthened for what? For all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. The apostle's deep desire, even for the strongest of believers, is that they would experience God's almighty power in Jesus Christ for endurance, for steadfastness of faith in the midst of conflict, struggle, affliction, and persecution. Often we come to church tired, don't we? Even as we seek to ready ourselves for the Lord's Day, we're still tired often when we arrive for worship. Sometimes at church, I'll ask one of our teens, "How are you doing?" "I'm tired." I usually say back, almost all of us are tired. But we're in the right place. This is where our covenant God meets with his tired, worn out people, tired physically, emotionally, and spiritually because of our battle with sin. Christian endurance does not mean that we will not get tired. We will get tired if all we do is change diapers. It means that we will remain steadfast in our faith for Christ in the midst of conflict and opposition. Of course, God's wonderful promise to you is that you will endure to the end. Laurie and I do groundwork part-time since my retirement, and we get to work together on this very large farm just a few miles from our mom-and-pop farm. And I am always amazed, seriously, if you could just hear me and see me, you would laugh so hard. But I'm always amazed when I use a leaf blower and some leaves just refuse to move because their stems are caught in the rocks. I'm trying to get a job done. It's a tremendous force of wind, and yet they stay put. And in my amazement, I often personify the leaf as I bend over, which I don't want to do. And I ask them, "How do you do that?" In a similar way, there may be times when you may feel like you're in a whirlwind and just barely hanging on. Although you may feel that way, you are never even close to giving way because God has you in his Son and you will endure to the end. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But God also uses means so that our endurance is strengthened, and one of those means to build our endurance is prayer. He uses prayer to strengthen your endurance more and more in this life according to his glorious might. Brothers and sisters, young people, as we look to him for strength, which is what he wants us to do, we understand from the book of Hebrews that Jesus, our great high priest, sympathizes with us poor sinners and with our weakness. He was tempted as we are, and yet without sin. Now at God's right hand, he sympathizes with our weaknesses today and reminds us again and again and again and again that his throne is not only a mighty throne, a sovereign throne, but it's a throne of grace and mercy. And what is our great high priest doing for his children all the time? Hebrews 7:25 tells us he lives to make intercession for us. He lives. Should we not pray for even the strongest of believers that they would look to Jesus for strength to endure if our great high priest always lives to make intercession for us to endure? Look to Jesus. Did Christ not even endure the cross and despise our shame, the shame, our sin that was laid upon him and all that he had to go through so that we might be victorious in him? Your pastor needs this apostolic prayer prayed for him and his dear wife, so that they can say with the psalmist in all boldness, whom have I in heaven besides you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Well, where endurance has more to do with how we react to circumstances, patience has more to do with how we react to people. Consider the patience of God towards you. Consider the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ towards sinners. This prayer leads us to Christ and to greater dependence upon him for patience with broken, complicated sinners. But Paul doesn't stop there, and it really gets juicy here. He prays for endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. Well, many non-believers can manifest some degree of human endurance and patience through great difficulty. People are trying to do that all around us, neighbors, friends, throughout this county, throughout the world. They're trying to manifest some degree of human endurance and patience through great difficulty. The unbelieving Stoics, for example, in Paul's day, had the philosophy that they should endure no matter what came their way without any complaining at all. But these unbelievers are severely handicapped by their self-reliance because they could never endure with true joy, giving thanks to the Father. The world cannot understand Paul and Silas in chains in a Roman prison singing joyful songs of praise to their great and glorious God and their wondrous King and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's in Him we have strength. God is the strength of our lives. We take joy in the God of our salvation. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Therefore, we are thankful. And out of thanks springs service and greater obedience, greater loyalty to both Him and to one another here in our church family. I do not claim to have the maturity of the Apostle Paul. I do not claim to have the maturity of Silas. The only thing I claim today with you is this prayer, that we may be strengthened with all power according to His Christ's glorious might for endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. And this leads us to the last part of the prayer, Paul's thankfulness to God for their salvation. First, we considered his reasonable request, reasonable because of the sufficiency of Christ to be filled with the knowledge and wisdom of his will, and so walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Second, his deep desire for our endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. And he closes with thanks to God for their salvation. Reading verses 12 through 14. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. What a blessing. And yet another reason to give thanks today to God the Father. in the sending of His Son, God qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. At this very moment, through faith, you are qualified, and you can never lose your qualification because it is based on the righteousness of another. You're not qualified because you personally deserve it. You never will. You are not qualified because you did anything better than anyone else. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Although you and I deserve the domain of darkness forever and ever without end, we now, because of Christ, belong to the kingdom of Christ, God's beloved Son. He has delivered us. As the second Adam, He represented His elect and shed His blood and redeemed our lives from the pit. He satisfied God's justice and forgave you of all your sin through His shed blood. And by His obedience, He won a kingdom for us. And the victory is ours through Him. His victory is your victory. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash away my sins. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Young people, look to Christ and believe. He's everything that God's Word says that He is for sinners who look to Him and solely rest in Him. The apostle said in 2 Corinthians 3, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. We confess that with Paul, don't we, this morning? But don't you and I also confess that we often lose sight of this in our day-to-day walk? We lose sight of the fact that our sufficiency is from God and we become self-reliant. Are we not, as Calvin said, still too much like idol factories? We all need this apostolic prayer. And aren't you glad that this is a prayer prayed on your behalf? And don't you think that we should pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ? Those with obvious need, those who may be struggling, but also those who are doing well in the Lord. Was this not Paul's unceasing prayer for the people of God? Let's pray. We humbly ask, O God, that your children of faith here at Covenant Family Church and at SGRC and Donovan and throughout the OPC and among all the saints throughout the world be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience, with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And Lord, we thank You that You have delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of Your beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name. Amen.